communicate. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray your spirit would be at work, opening our ears, our hearts, our minds to hear the truth this morning of who you are. And come and bring change and transformation where it's needed, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so exams, money, health, strained relationships, uncertainty, being out of control, our kids, our marriage, our loneliness. Anything and everything can lead to anxiety and worry. And depending on who we are as people, that will either have a little impact upon us, at best occupy our thoughts occasionally. Maybe sometimes it will affect our eating or our sleeping. But actually, at worst, anxiety and worry can really have an impact upon our behaviour, our view of God, and our relationship to Him. I don't know if you're a ball of anxiety, if you describe yourself as that, or maybe someone who rarely gets anxious. But you know, anxiety and worry, that isn't a new phenomenon. Jesus in the New Testament, if you look in Luke, you don't have to turn to it, but Matthew chapter 6, 28 to 34, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, you know what, guys, you don't have to worry. Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Worry and anxiety has been around for a long time, nothing new. But Jesus says, don't worry. And yet, if you've ever been worried and someone says, don't worry, that's like the worst thing that somebody can say to you, right? And so actually, what is the answer to a worrying heart? I'll give you the answer now rather than wait until the end. It's to pray. Surprise, surprise. We're continuing our series in prayer, and this morning we're looking at prayer being the antidote or the medicine to our anxieties and to our worries. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And this is going to help us look at our role, the role that prayer has in the battle with our anxiety. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing a letter to the church at Philippi, and we're getting to the end of his letter, and it's his concluding remarks, and he's laying out encouragements for the believers there. And here he says this command, probably with Jesus' words ringing in his ears about don't worry. And he says the command, do not be anxious about anything. But look, what does he say? He doesn't say, dig deep. Don't be anxious, don't worry. Just dig deep. Try a little bit harder to not worry. He doesn't say that. Verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, and gives the explanation. You don't be anxious by praying with petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your request to God. Prayer is the remedy for anxiety. So Paul Miller, in the book that Darren said about last week that he waved up, I'd really recommend you grab a copy and read it. It is really good. Miller says, instead of trying to suppress your anxiety, manage it, or smother it with pleasure, we can turn our anxiety towards God. And do you know what? That is echoed throughout Scripture. We see in the Psalms time and time again, with an anxious heart, David calls out to God. In Psalm 61, verse 2, he says, God, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We don't have to be sorted. Paul says, in every situation. Not in some situations, not in the easier situations, but in every situation. Pray. In the middle of everything, pray. We don't have to wait until we're in a perfect state to bring our request to God. God says, pray in the chaos of it all. Pray in the anxiety of it all. Pray in the worry of it all. So what is Paul saying? He's saying in every situation, our worries and our anxieties become a springboard for our hearts to bend towards God. And how does he say we do it? Look at verse 6. He says, by prayer, the broad talking and listening to God. By prayer, that's how you combat anxiety. With petition. Now, if you've ever signed a petition, you sign something and send it to somebody who can bring about change about a situation. So Paul says, with petition, send it to God. Some translations say, with supplication. So that's kind of a humble, earnestly asking God of something with humility. What else does he say? He says, with thanksgiving. Being thankful to God, whatever the situation. No matter how good or how bad, no matter whether there's pleasure or whether there's pain, in every situation, make your requests to God. That's quite hard, isn't it? Why does Paul tell followers of Jesus to do this? Why pray when we're anxious, when we're worried, when we're fearful? Why? Because when we talk to God, when we humbly ask him stuff, when we pray with thanksgiving, we're throwing off the weight of worry. Flick over to 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, if you can. 1 Peter's writing, and he says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, sometimes we understand our casting of anxieties like throwing. We understand casting to be you throw something away, a bit like a shot put, something that's heavy. So Peter's writing, throw your worries, they can be heavy, throw them away from you. And we can understand it a bit like that picture, and it's true, but actually there's something a little bit more profound. I was reading something that got me thinking about this, and then I kind of went and done a bit of research. The Greek word here for casting, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, because you ain't even heard how I pronounce French words, let alone Greek words. I've got it written down, though, if you want to know afterwards, and I've got it written in Greek, if you're into all that. Well, might be some people's idea of fun, isn't it, Ryan? Okay, so I'm so lost. So the Greek word for casting is used one other time in the New Testament. And that's actually in Luke 19, 35. So the disciples go to get a donkey for Jesus, for him to ride into Jerusalem on what we now know as Palm Sunday. And it says this in Luke 19, 35. They, the disciples, brought the donkey to Jesus. They threw, or cast, their garments on the colt. They set Jesus on it. So the meaning of casting here in 1 Peter isn't just throwing something, hoping it will get as far away from you as possible. It's like having a piece of clothing or having something that you no longer want to carry and laying it down onto an animal so the animal can then take your load. So what is Peter saying about God? He's saying, when you cast your anxieties and your worries, you're not throwing them into a vacuum, hoping that when you pray, they'll get away from you. He's saying, God takes them like a donkey takes the load. You lay them down, and he does the hard work for us. I think that is quite cool. But you know, for us to say to God, God, I'm casting my cares on you, I'm laying them on you, requires two things, okay? It requires humility. How often do we want to be in control? I keep pressing the wrong button, sorry. How often do we want to be in control? We want to be independent. We don't want to be seen as being needy. And yet, to say to the creator of the universe, I need you, is saying I can't do it on my own. I am dependent upon someone. I'm not in control. I come with humility. See, it's no coincidence that look at in verse 6 that Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And in Paul, in Philippians 4, he says, by prayer and petition, humbly asking God, recognizing that he is big and we are small. But actually, some of us sometimes are just a little bit too proud to say to God, we need help. And so we worry, and we try to solve things by ourselves, and we look for solutions, and we look for ways to kind of satiate that pain, that worry, that anxiety, when all along God says, give it to me. And if that's you, if you're trying to work out solutions and trying to solve it yourself, let me ask you this morning, how is that going for you? Peter says, cast your cares onto God because he cares for you, and it requires humility. But it also requires trust. When Peter says, cast and pray your cares and anxiety onto God, look at verse 7. Why? Because he cares for you. Because God cares. You can trust him with this kind of stuff because he can be trusted. Peter's not presenting like an airy-fairy kind of idea. He's presenting fact. He's saying you can cast your cares onto God because God can be trusted. And that trust and that care isn't an airy-fairy kind of, oh, God cares, isn't that nice? No, it's not that. It's God saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you pass through the waters and the storms, they're not going to sweep over you and they're not going to drown you because I love you and I care for you. And the suffering that you face, I'm going to take the sting out of that and I'm going to use it for your good because I am good. So when I say cast my cares on me, I say that because I care for you. I care for you like that donkey and I want to carry your load. Trust me. Trust me. Do we really trust God? Do we really trust him to carry the stuff that keeps us awake at night? Or do we think, you know what, I'm not quite sure that he can do it. In my house the past couple of weeks, I think my husband Paul would be, you know, he'd say for himself he's quite an anxious person. If something happens, he would be the first one in our house to worry. And the past couple of weeks, kind of thinking about this talk and preparing this talk, we've had to put this into practice big time. You know, kind of anxious hearts floating about the Bolland's household, and we've had to pray, recognizing I can't cure his anxiety. And we take it to God saying, God, you know what? We can't do nothing. We can't fix it. But we know that you care and we trust you. Why does Paul tell us not to be anxious and to pray and to cast our worries onto him? Because it changes our perspective when we do. It changes the way that we see things. See, when we pray, we lift our eyes from ourselves and we focus on the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. Praying means we turn our focus away from us trying to seek solutions to the one who is able. Praying means that our mindset is changed, our perspective is changed, because actually the stuff that we worry about in the light of eternity means very little. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, there's that kind of reminder and that command to realign our hearts and our minds to what's important. And it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Our perspective changes when we pray. It's like that old Christian song, I'm probably showing my age by the fact that I even know it, but it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So when we pray and we cast our cares with humility and trust, our perspective is changed. But finally, there's a promise. There's a promise. If you flick back to the Philippians passage. See, when we're worried, I don't know about you, I want an assurance that everything's going to be okay. But do you know what? The world can't give us that kind of assurance. The world can't say it's going to be okay. But do you know what? God does. Paul doesn't say in Philippians, just pray. He says, pray because it makes a difference. Verse 7, there comes the promise. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends, which goes above all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds in a way that defies all human understanding and logic, because that's the way God does things. See, saying don't be anxious, Paul recognizes that's an impossible command. That's why he follows it up with this beautiful promise. He challenges us to turn our anxieties into prayer. And the way we fulfill the command of do not be anxious is by praying, is with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, trusting in a specific promise. Now, why do we need the peace of God to guard our hearts and to guard our minds? We see time and time again throughout Scripture that the heart is the inner source of life. It says in Proverbs 4:23, everything you do flows from your heart. And so actually, if our hearts aren't guarded against the anxieties and the worries that this world brings, it will affect the way we think, it will affect the way we speak, it will affect the way we behave, and often in relation to God. See, Paul says, you haven't just got to wait until heaven, until you can experience the peace that Christ brings. Why does he say that? Because Philippians 4 verse 6, if you look at that, he says, the Lord is near. It's not a theoretical point. It's not you might want to consider that God may or may not be near. He says, the Lord is near. That's why we can trust the promise. God is here with us. Let me give you a bit of a kind of story from my life about how this has kind of played out a little bit. When I found out I was pregnant, kind of just rolled through kind of pregnant life, people came and said helpful and not so helpful things about what my life would be when I had a child. And I realized in a time when I was praying with a friend that actually I was really, really fearful about becoming a mum. And don't even know why I'm getting emotional. And I was anxious about what life would be like with a baby. I was anxious about the implications for my life, for my marriage. I was concerned, you know, would I be good enough for our child? And when God put his finger on the fact that, Jen, you're fearful, I thought, man, I've got to do something about this, because I can't spend 9 months stressing and being worried about what may or may not be. And so when God put his finger on it, in that moment, I said, God, you know what? Here you go. These are my concerns. These are my anxieties. And I tell you what, I experienced peace like I don't think I've ever experienced before. The peace of Christ, which went above all my understanding, it didn't change my situation at all. It guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And since that moment, I was like, do you know what? It's actually all going to be okay, even if it's not all okay. Because the Lord is near, and the peace of God passes all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder if when I'm kind of saying that, you're a bit cynical thinking, yeah, that's good for you, Jen, but that's not my story. Guys, we either believe this to be true or we don't believe it to be true. And I think what's interesting, we've just finished the series in Joshua where we've said week on week, God keeps his promises. And I think so often we can say, yeah, amen, praise God. God keeps his promises, but not for me. The promise is for you and it's for me. But I think sometimes with prayer, we pray once or we pray many times and we don't see the answer, what we see as being the answer to our prayers in our timescale, and that leaves us discouraged, despondent, disillusioned, makes us think, do you know what, I'm not quite sure this prayer thing actually works. And so as a result of that, our attitudes towards prayer and towards God, they really change. And we think, why pray? Because actually he doesn't care. He can't be trusted. I can't trust him. That might be true for Jen, but it's not true for me. And you know, that's a thing called serpent theology. When we believe a lie that doesn't come from God as if it is truth from God. What do we do with that? We battle against it. Don't let those lies that don't come from God have an impact upon us not casting our cares and our worries onto Him. Speak truth to those liars. Get people to pray with you. Get people to pray for you. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your mind on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Think about those things. There's a promise for you and there's a promise for me. And just to balance out like my testimony, a few weeks ago we were about to head off on holiday and Paul said, Jen, I don't know why I feel really anxious about the journey. I'm not quite sure why. So we prayed. And when I pray, I expect God to answer there and then because I don't know why. Because I think I'm God at times, basically. And I said to Paul, do you feel peaceful now? He's like, no. Okay, then. So we're packing the car and I'm praying, you know, for his heart to experience peace and not anxiety. And just before we were about to walk out the door, I was like, do you feel peaceful now? He said, no. So I was like, okay, we'll pray again. Let's go again. So we went again. I said, do you feel peace now? He's like, no. I was like, oh, dear. And we drove along, and then we had a car accident. And I remember sitting on the side of the road just thinking, what was that about? So Paul was anxious, so I prayed. He didn't experience peace. And then we prayed some more, and he didn't experience peace. And now we're in a car crash. But I tell you what, from the moment we had our crash, the man that got out of the driver's seat, as in my husband, had a peace that completely went far above all human understanding or logic. He was Mr. Peaceful in the middle of the A road. And I'm like, oh, I was sitting there like, I'm so worried, I'm so nervous. God answers in his time. And sometimes his peace comes in his time. But I tell you what it did. God not answering immediately meant that I prayed more and I prayed more and I prayed more before we actually left the house. And sometimes God uses those things to bend our hearts even more towards him, weaving his plans and his purposes for our lives. Darren last week, if he was here, said about Jesus and him having a busy life, and yet he still made time to go to the Father and to pray. Prayer was essential for him. And we know from Scripture, don't we, that there was a time when Jesus faced anxiety in a way that I hope you and I never ever face. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think we can say he had an anxious heart. And what did he do? He didn't try to smother it with things that made him feel better. He didn't run away from it. What did he do? He humbly poured it all out in prayer to the Father, trusting the one who can make a difference in his situation. And then he went off to the cross and he died. See, moments when we're anxious become invitations to pray. And we've got the option, do we pray or don't we? It's really that simple. When you're anxious about your son or your daughter's spiritual walk, pray. When there's a situation at work that's keeping you awake at night, pray and pray again. When you're faced with uncertainty in life, when you look in the news and you think, God, what kind of world are we living in? I'm worried about it, pray. In every situation, in everything, pray. And you know what? In the same way, there's an exchange as a result of Jesus dying on the cross of our sin for forgiveness, of our pain and brokenness for healing. There's also a promise here that there can be an exchange of our anxiety for peace because of Christ and because of what he's done and all that he's achieved. Cast your worries onto him because he cares. With a humble heart and a trusting heart, cast. Because it will change our perspective when we pray. I don't really get how it happens, but it happens. And there's a promise. And that promise is for me and it's for you. Whether you believe that promise or not, that promise is there. Let's pray. Paul in Philippians and Peter in 1 Peter speak truth to an anxious heart. And they call us to come to the Father with those worries and those anxieties, no matter how big, no matter how small. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.